this one out loud.
Annie, Banny, Bo, Nanny, Banani, Fanny, Bo, Banny, me, my, Mo, Manny, Annie.
I love that. I was going to say bonjour, shalom.
That's right. All of these worldly things. You just got a little travel bug or what's going on?
I do have a travel bug. Maybe, you know, we're out from the weight of winter.
True.
And I don't know.
You know what made me think about I'm just happy today. Recently? Yesterday, what? I went to this amazing screening of this documentary called The Big Histo, which you've heard about because we have interviewed Miss Melissa many times with Melly House.
Yep.
And one of the women who asked a question was from Vietnam. And I was like, first of all, my first thought was, oh, I really want to go there. And also, this woman is so lovely and sweet. And her question really surprised me. Her question was about the film, which is about women's health and health issues specifically pertaining to the womb. And she said, hey, in Vietnam, we talk about our periods and we learn about them really young in school. Like in school, they teach you how to use a tampon and where to store them and all of this sort of thing. And she was surprised that in America, when she came here in high school and also in this film, because the film shows women of all different ages, that they had never been talked to, not even taught, but like never even been talked to about their periods. And I was just like,
I know.
Whoa. But it's true. I remember it.
Well, I mean, we have one state in the United States, the state of Florida, that right now is encouraging people not to talk to girls about their period till they're at least in sixth grade.
Shaking my head.
I mean, I know girls who got their period before sixth grade. 10, I mean, it's crazy.
For sure.
Crazy, crazy. You know, this reminds me of a Parlay House event that we had when we had a gynecologist talking to us, and she was just talking about all sorts of basic self-care things. And later that evening, one of the members came up to me and she said, Anne, you know, I didn't want to interrupt during the talk, but what's a pap smear and what's a mammogram? And I said, what? And she said, I'm from Jordan and our families don't, if you're not married, you don't need to know about these things. And our families, our mothers don't talk to us about them. I mean, what kind of world is this?
It's so hard to live in California and be in my bubble and I don't understand. It's frustrating.
I know. Well, you know, there's such a range of comfort with all things body, physical, and sexual, right?
I know, but it's just so like, weird when it's so logical.
Even your generation versus mine. Your generation versus mine. You guys are so much more open about sex than my generation was, which is so much more open than the previous generation. Well, maybe not because that was the summer of love people, but who knows? Anyway, I'm glad we're talking about sex.
Yes,
we should be talking about sex more. And we're going to welcome the queen of talking about sex to this podcast this week. And I'm super excited because she's just
she says it like it is,
herself and real. She says it like it is. And she sits on the stage in her underwear. So, Cindy, don't know what you have on right now, but tell us all about you.
Gallup. I'm the founder and CEO of Make Love Not Porn. We are pro-sex, pro-porn, pro-knowing the difference.
Boom!
Amazing. So that was the shortest, most succinct, and most tantalizing introduction we've probably had in all six seasons of Bring a Friend.
Definitely.
Because it obviously brings up so many questions. And what your brief intro says to me is that you're heads down focused on what you care about, which is sex porn making a difference. But that is obviously way more complicated than it sounds. So can you tell us where this whole quest began? And then we'll talk about what Make Love Not Porn is and is not. Where did this start, Cindy?
Sure. So I have a business that is a complete and total accident. And by the way, everything in my life and career has always happened by accident. I've never consciously, intentionally planned anything. I date younger men. They tend to be men in their 20s. And 15 years ago now, I began realizing through dating younger men that when we don't talk openly and honestly about sex, porn becomes sex education by default in not a good way. And so as a naturally action-oriented person, I went, I'm going to do something about this. So 14 years ago, purely as a side venture, but I went, I have to encourage more people to do the same thing. And so and so I put up a tiny clunky website at makelovenotporn.com that in its original version was just words, porn world versus real world. Here's what happens in the porn world. Here's what really happens in the real world. I launched Make Love Not Porn at TED in 2009, became the only TED speaker to say the words come on my face on the TED stage. Six times.
How is that not
is that
intro,
in the Guinness Book
Cindy?
Of World Records? Yeah.
That's how I would want to be seen right there, that title.
The talk went viral as a result, and it drove this extraordinary global response to my tiny website that I had never anticipated. Thousands of people wrote to me from every country in the world. I realized I'd uncovered a huge global social issue. And so that is what led me to turn Make Love Not Porn into what it is today, which is the world's first and only user-generated, human-curated social sex video sharing platform.
So amazing. Just to be really specific, the problem was that men thought women wanted things that we didn't want. Is just to clarify, what were you seeing in your relationships that made you say, uh-oh?
Sure. And, you know, the important thing here, Anne, is that while obviously this manifested for me with my young, you know, male dates, what I encountered is true for everybody, you know, boys and girls alike. Because, you know, it all stems, as I've been saying for 14 years, from the fact that the issue isn't porn. The issue is that we don't talk about sex in the real world. Because we don't talk about sex, it is an area of rampant insecurity for every single one of us. We all get vulnerable when we get naked. Sexual ego is very fragile. People therefore find it bizarrely difficult to talk about sex to the people they're actually having it with while they're actually having it. Because in that scenario, you are terrified that if you say anything at all about what is going on, if you comment on the action anyway at all, you will potentially hurt the other person's feelings. You'll put them off you. You will derail the encounter. You'll potentially derail the entire relationship. But at the same time, you want to please your partner. You want to make them happy. Everybody wants to be good in bed. Nobody knows exactly what that means. And so you will seize your cues on how to do that from anywhere you can. And whoever you are, if the only cues you've ever seen about how to have sex are in porn, because your parents never talked about sex, because your school didn't teach you, because your friends aren't honest, those are the cues you're going to take to not very good effect. And so, you know, it's simply the fact that there is no communication. There is no discussion of what do you like? What do I like? Let's agree together what's fun to do. It's right, let's break out the porn moves, you know, and so that is what I set out to address.
It's so true.
That's so bold. Everything you said is resonating with me completely, because women, and maybe some men, tend to be pleasers. You give encouragement when it really isn't what you want. And that's a complicated social dynamic too, because you're supposed to. You encourage them and say, oh, that's great, more, more, more. And in fact, you really wish that it was something completely different, but we don't learn how to express that in a way that, you know, doesn't derail the encounter.
I'm wondering, because I think I see this with my friends. I went through this personally myself. I would love to do a role play with you and really just hear if you are a 26-year-old woman who's dated a lovely angel person, man, whatever, for 2 years, let's say, and you have maybe had, you know, 5 legit orgasms, but the rest have been faked. And you're like hearing this and you're going, I want this. I want to communicate. I want to have better sex. I want to say it, but I'm petrified and I waited so long and now it's embarrassing and I'm going to break his heart and or her heart, whatever. Let's role play. So I'll be the partner that's like, yeah, I'm doing great. I am crushing it in the sack. And you tell me, you bring it up.
it's very simple, Ariel, because obviously I designed the solution to precisely that scenario. And so what I do is I go, darling, I came across this really interesting website. It's called Make Love Not Porn. And it looks really hot. Let's watch it together this evening. And Ooh. Then off the back of those videos, I guarantee you can have any conversation you want. And by the way, again, the wonderful thing about Make Love and Porn is because we exist to celebrate the full glorious spectrum of human sexuality, you can pick and choose the videos that reflect precisely what you might like to broach the topic of conversation. You know, I mean, we have, again, because, you know, this is the real world, we have a ton of videos where people are managing sex and sexuality through a number of conditions like chronic pain, menopause, you know, vaginismus, post-cancer, you know, whatever your situation. And, you know, we have a ton of videos for things like, you know, if you've always wanted to introduce a sex toy into your bedroom and you're not sure what your partner will think. Well, we have a ton of videos where people are having a high old time on their own or you know, with a partner or more than one partner with various sex toys. So that's a great way to go, ooh, this video is really hot. Why don't we buy one of those? And so literally, you know, we are designed to be a conversation starter. You know, we are designed to make it easier to communicate around sex. So, you know, it would be, don't,
in a way that's not accusatory. I love that because it's about, oh, we should try that too. That was, that was genius.
Yes. And it works because I will say, seriously, Cindy, I should write you a letter to your email, which I know I have, but I should write another. Your talk with Parlay House in deep COVID, I think it was like 2020, literally.
I remember,
when you did the digital talk, it spurred a conversation from me to my partner, from me to my friends. We all chatted about it. And everything has just gotten, let me tell you, beautiful since then.
Oh my God. Beautiful. I'm so happy
only discovered the womanizer, which is just my best friend, my number one girl. I sent the womanizer to many of my human
friends.
Yeah, to everyone. And I'm so comfortable. And I went from like, haha, like masturbating, I don't know, to like, I womanize every day, every single day.
It's the first thing I do. That is fan-bloody-tastic. I'm thrilled to hear that.
I'm very
now we
thrilled.
Know now we know both about your daily womanizer and nude jumping jacks, Ariel. We know so much about you.
I'm telling you, this shit works. This shit works, everyone.
Fantastic. And I have to tell you, I mean, I always remember this is many years ago, but I was talking to a girlfriend of mine at you know, some kind of dinner or cocktail party, and so we'd had a few drinks, and so she basically told me that she had never, ever had good sex with her male partner of 12 years standing. That it'd been bad from the get-go. And I was going, have you never talked about this? And she went, no, and now 12 years later, I can't.
Then you can't, you can't. Oh, no.
And, okay, wait. So how did you advise her on this? Well, because clearly you had something to say.
Yeah, no. You know, this was actually, I think this was soon after I'd launched Make Love Not Porn. And so I said to her, you know, you absolutely have to have this conversation. And listen, you know, if you find it difficult, watch our real world sex videos together on Make Love Not Porn, because that is the perfect context in which to, you know, inspire the conversation. Because couples tell us all the time that we have helped them make communications breakthroughs. And part of that, by the way, is at Make Love Not Porn, it's not just what we do, it's the way that we do it. Mm-hmm. Because we are socializing, normalizing, and destigmatizing sex. We are bringing it out of the shadows into the sunlight to make it easier to talk about. So everything on our platform is geared to normalize, you know, this wonderful universal layer of human experience. And so couples tell us that, you know, watching our videos, it was as easy to talk about what they saw in them as they would discuss a movie they just watched on Netflix or something they watched on TV. You know, just the entire setting, the framing, normalize that. And from talking about what they were watching, it was just one step to talking about their own sex lives in a way that, as I say, resulted in extraordinary breakthroughs once people actually began communicating.
So just to continue on the personal story, because I think this is absolutely right, and it's the more detailed it is, the more and less conceptual, the more people are going to buy in. What changed in your life in this whole time period that makes you realize that this is absolutely the answer. What were the responses to your partners as you've started being open about it in your circles, both business circles and personal circles? What have been the changes that you've seen that leads you to know you're doing the right thing?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, for the past 14 years, in all of the, you know, emails and comments we get in the conversations I have seen firsthand the enormous human misery and unhappiness caused by the shame, guilt, and embarrassment that we imbue sex with. And so what has been amazing is equally hearing every day how we have changed people's lives in this respect. You know, I remember one man reaching out to me, and in fact, this is especially the kind of email I like to get, because he wrote this incredibly moving email where he said, you know, I just heard you on a podcast where you're talking about Make Love and Porn. I went to the platform. I watched my first video. I cried. And I'm writing to you now at 3 a.m. because all my life, every relationship I've had has been destroyed by the shame and guilt I've felt around sex. And you are the first person, this is the first platform that has made me think differently. And then he said, and by the way, I'm an investor. I see you're raising funding. I'd love to talk.
And I went, wow, yeah, that's yeah. No wonder yeah. You'd like to.
It's my kind of email on so many levels. You know?
Totally. It really is. Totally. If he'd only said, and I'm a 20-something man who would like to date a gorgeous older woman.
Well, we get plenty of those as well, you know.
You know, we as women are so, you know, hit over the head with you need to be 6 feet tall, 110 pounds with perky boobs and whatever. And of course, none of us look like that. And so I bet seeing real humans with real bodies is really freeing for a lot of people because the people on the screen look like they do.
No, you're absolutely right, Anne. And this is a very important part of what we do. And you know, as you say, we celebrate real-world everything. Real-world bodies, real-world hair, real-world penis size, real-world breast size, mm-hmm. real-world vulvas.
Yeah.
The reason that's so crucial is because you can talk body positivity all you like. You can preach self-love until you're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, nothing convinces people to feel great about their own bodies like seeing people who are no one's idea of aspirational body types getting turned on by each other, desiring each other, having an amazing time in bed. In a world where every message popular culture sends us tells us you're not hot, you are not sexually attractive, you're not desirable unless you are, as you say, I'm this skinny, six-pack abs, look like this. You know, our members tell us that we make them feel terrific about their own bodies. And, you know, there's a very profound truth here, which has been so obfuscated by popular culture. Because, you know, some years ago, the UK series Love Island, which has now been syndicated globally everywhere.
Epic.
but was massive, you know, huge in the UK. They announced the new season's contestant lineup. And they were instantly critiqued for lack of diversity, both racial ethnic diversity and also for lack of body diversity. And the producer of Love Island, surprise, surprise, white man, was interviewed about this and made the enormous mistake of saying, well, we have to cast what people find attractive. So the entire internet came down on his head, including
amateur.
Me. And in fact, the Daily Mail published my tweet in a piece they wrote covering the reaction. Because I tweeted back to him and I said, walk through any park in any big city in the summertime and look at the couples sitting on the grass, holding hands, kissing, and you will see what people really find attractive in the real world. Mm. And that is the truth that Make Love Not Porn really brings home. Because, you know, it's so ridiculous that popular culture has made us think that to be loved, to be desirable, to be attractive, we have to look like all of these, you know, models and celebrities and whatever. When the fact of the matter is, you know, walk down any street anywhere, look around you at the couples, and you can see for yourself what we really find attractive in the real world. You know, I'm always saying, what makes you attractive is you. You know, what someone is drawn to is you, the person, the personality, the character. And then your body is hot as hell because it's yours. That's what makes you attractive. The fact, you know, they're connected to you and you manifest in this wonderful body of yours. And that's what makes you hot as hell. And it's such an everyday self-evident truth that people don't see. And so that is what we're really bringing home at Make Love Not Porn. You know, one woman left a comment on a video with a Make Love Not Porn star couple where the woman in the couple is quite large. And she said, you know, it is so wonderful to see a woman of my body type being sexual. Thank you for this gift.
So
love it.
I've known you for 20 plus years since we were on the board of Advertising Women of New York, now an organization by another name. And even then, I remember you wearing leather. And I mean, for as long as I've known you, you have had the sexiest shoe collection and the best closet filled with clothes and the most fun parties that had sexual themes. And have you always felt as good about your body as you do now? And how did that happen for you?
Sure. And the answer to that, Anne, is absolutely not. You know, because, you know, I was as susceptible to social conditioning as everybody else. From the moment we're born as women, everything around us conspires to make us feel insecure about absolutely everything to do with ourselves. The way we look, the way we talk, the way we dress. Nice girls do this, nice girls don't do that. Mm-hmm. We spend the rest of our lives coming back from that, and sadly many of us never do. And so in my teens and 20s, I was absolutely as susceptible to diet culture and paranoia about one's looks as anybody else, you know, absolutely dieted, binged, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, you know, what has changed that over time is, first of all, simply growing older. Growing older is a wonderful thing because it puts everything into perspective. You know, the older you get, the more confidence you have, the more you realize what truly matters, the more you don't give a shit about anything. And then, you know, I have to tell you also that when I began dating younger men 20 odd years ago, I have never been told I'm beautiful as often as since I began dating younger men. And that also
really... Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it really brought into perspective. You know, and by the way, many women, I think, have this misconception. The thing, if you're going to date younger men, then surely they must want tight bodies and, you know, firm asses and whatever. Absolutely not. Because, you know, the younger men I date are attracted to me, you know, and they're attracted to my confidence. And honestly...
They want a woman.
And they just think I'm the most gorgeous thing out. And that also just really brought home to me that, of course, I am.
It's true. And it's evidence of your point. That is so true. It's, you know, that's why when you meet someone, you have that initial attraction level and then they open their mouth and it either goes up or it goes down. Ooh. And that's because our true attraction is to you. So they're attracted to you and the body's just a perk, cherry on top.
Oh, yep. And also, you know, wouldn't you want someone who is attracted to you? I mean, why would you want someone who's only attracted to your body? Because that is not a good starting point. You know?
No, it's all downhill.
I think
from
there's
there.
This obsession that if we reach that perfect model, actor, skinny, when we reach that, all of our problems will go away. But as we've seen, especially in the last year with all these quote perfect celebrity couples, those men are trifling just like men everywhere else when you're not being authentic and, you know, 100%. So I don't know. I is there any way we can make younger girls learn this faster? Either of you, help us.
I am absolutely trying to get this message out there all the time.
Yes, you do.
Because, yeah, but I mean, I would love to shortcut this process for right. every other woman out there.
Absolutely.
And I think, and I say this to other older women as well. I mean, how we do that is we absolutely role model what life can be when you don't give a shit about any of that.
Let's shift this conversation for a minute to you doing something no one has done before, you know, created an entire new form of pornography, which is about real bodies.
I'm going to pull you up there. We are not pornography. Okay. And you know, I will just say that it's indicative of how messed up we are as a society about sex, that people think, oh, people having sex on video must be porn. To be really clear, porn is produced, performative, scripted, artificially constructed entertainment. And Make Love Not Porn showcases the sex we all have in the real world. And so the way I like to put it is, if porn is the Hollywood blockbuster movie, Make Love Not Porn is the badly needed documentary. We are a unique window onto the funny, messy, loving, wonderful, comical, awkward sex we all have in the real world. And so we are creating a whole new category that's never before existed, social sex. Because we are what Facebook would be if it allowed you to spontaneously, socially, sexually self-express as much as it allows you to spontaneously, socially share videos of anything else you're doing in any other area of life.
So when you're saying pro-love, pro-porn, and pro-knowing the difference,
pro-knowing the difference.
Yep. And so that's difference. Really your way of separating scripted versus organic and
Real.
Hollywood versus natural.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad that you said that, because I think that's super, super helpful. So let's go back to our conversation about being at the leading edge of something and trying to get people who haven't caught up with you yet to invest. I think you've, you know, been hitting your head against some ceilings and some walls and, you know, faced some challenges, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. What's it been like to try to, you know, change the dynamic of human sexuality and human sexual experience for the general public?
It's been goddamn exhausting. So I and my tiny team have fought a battle every single day for the past 14 years to build this business and even just to keep it alive, because that's how on a knife edge the battle has been and continues to be. I've been staring down my financial runway for many years. And, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, you know, the issue is not at all the way the world has responded to Make Love Not Porn. In 14 years, the world has done nothing but welcome everything I'm doing, because everyone knows how badly they need it. My only barriers have been business and financial ones. Every piece of business infrastructure other tech startups get to take for granted, we can't. The small print always says no adult content.
So give us some examples of what you can't do that every other startup business in other industries can do.
Sure. So historically, that has meant enormous challenges trying to raise funding, enormous challenges getting banked. It took me 4 years to find one bank here in America that would allow me to open a business bank account for Make Love Not Porn. Wow.
Why? Sorry, I don't understand why they would...
Because no adult content.
We won't work with companies who run adult content?
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, anybody working with sex has the same problem.
Okay.
A payment processing, massive business growth inhibitor. PayPal won't work with adult content. Stripe can't. Mainstream credit card processors won't. I have to work with adult-friendly payment processors to transact on my platform, who, because anybody adult has nowhere else to go, charge extortionate fees. Mm. I pay out 12% of my revenue every month in payment processing fees versus the mainstream payment, 3% or less. That really holds you back from growth as a business. Every tech service I want to use, the terms of service always say no adult content. I can never work with best in class of anything. You know, even something like finding an email partner. MailChimp won't work with us. Klaviyo won't work with us. Had to build our entire tech platform from scratch as proprietary technology. Existing streaming services won't stream adult content. So I've spent the past 14 years parallel pathing two things: working to build Make Love Not Porn and working to change the business and cultural context around it. Because when you have a truly world-changing startup, you have to change the world to fit it, not the other way around. And the good news is that 14 years later, those barriers are finally falling. I've taken Make Love Not Porn to an unprecedented level of social and business acceptance beyond what any other sector of business has ever managed to achieve. And what is especially heartening is that today I am finally finding and talking to investors who get it. And that's been
let's give some applause to that one. Woo, yes.
Woo. You deserve it. That's amazing.
So that's been a very interesting process in itself, because I know, and I've always known, that my investors are out there. There are a ton of them. And there are a ton of them in every country in the world. They are impossible to find by the usual means, because they all have one thing in common. Your willingness to fund Make Love Not Porn is entirely a function of your personal sexual journey. It is a function of your personal lens on sex and sexuality that's been shaped by your own experience. And I have no way to research and target for that. Mm-hmm. Especially because sex is the one area where you cannot tell from the outside what anybody thinks on the inside. The people who look like they would totally get it don't. The people who look like complete prudes do. So my strategy has been, I deliberately put what I'm doing out there all the time. Across all my social channels, I do every media interview I'm asked to, I go on every podcast, because I have to make synaptic connections happen that will attract those investors to me. Now, theoretically, this is a long, slow, painful, and highly inefficient process. Practically, yep. It works. And the good news is, in the past year, it's been working more and more. And so I have been, frankly, gobsmacked at the amount of incoming investor interest I get on LinkedIn. And by the way, if you had told me 10 years ago that one day I would say I'm all about LinkedIn, I would have laughed in your face. But today, I'm all about LinkedIn. It's my number one investor lead generator. LinkedIn makes shit happen. And I've also been working the family office conference circuit for the past year. And that's been very productive as well, because family offices are able to deploy funds without worrying about
a lot less kind of other bureaucracy
partners, any way they want. So, you know, I'm in a dialogue with, you know, a range of investors currently. What they all have in common is that they get it. And they are a range, because I've been avoiding venture capital, but a venture fund reached out to me on LinkedIn. It was very persistent. And so I'm now in a dialogue with them, because clearly, you know, their partners get it. I'm talking to high net worth individuals, impact investors who get that we are the ultimate form of social impact, and as I said, family offices. And so in amongst all of those, I am optimistic and hopeful that I can absolutely raise the funding that we need.
Yay.
Cindy, you know, we've had this relationship for long enough that none of what you say and your confidence and your brilliance and your ballsiness and your calling it like it is surprises me. But I have never met your wonderful mother, who I know you're incredibly close with. If she was going to describe you to me when you were a child, what would she say you were like?
I can answer that very easily, because my mother very sweetly boasts about this to anyone she gets a chance to, even now at the age of 90. You know, but by the time I turn up in a hospital or a care home, all the staff have heard about all of her brilliant four daughters. But the thing that she especially likes to tell people is that, you know, I was so intelligent. I went to Oxford, and, you know, I was reading Shakespeare's sonnets at the age of 5. And so that's what she is particularly proud of and likes to come out with.
That is amazing.
That's awesome. You know, I asked the question, I know it seems like a strange segue, but when we are lucky enough to meet somebody like you who's a real game changer, you just sort of wonder, were they born into that? And maybe it's your precociousness or the fact that you sort of blew through the norms in the world pretty fast and then had to think about, you know, what's next and what should be. But, you know, I love that. And, you know, you've been very open about the fact that you're now 63, or as Ariel would say, sexy free.
love that.
We have themes for you as you continue to shine. But you know, I I wish you would give some final words before we get into our super new fun speed round. Give some words to the younger generations of women who are seeing their own version of it. Things shouldn't be the way they are, and it means so much to me that I want to devote a lot of my life to changing it. Give us the basics. What would you say to that girl, that niece, that neighbor, that friend?
Sure. So, you know, it's very simple. You know, I always say to people who have not done this, take a long, hard look inside yourself and identify what you stand for, what you believe in, what you value, what you're all about, because that makes life so much easier. Life still throws at you all the shit it always will, but you will know how to respond to that in any given situation in a way that is true to you. And that really is the secret of happiness and of confidence, living your life and working your work according to your values, because that is what then leads you not to give a damn what anybody else thinks, because all that matters is what you think. And when you know that you are operating according to your values, that honestly is the secret of a really happy and a very confident life.
Word.
Boom.
Word.
Boom. Mic drop.
Fire questions. I'm going to go through these babies. You're going to answer them as quickly as possible, and we'll move on to the next. Ready? Okay. Introvert or extrovert?
Oh, extrovert.
Extrovert. Figured. All right. What do you wish more people knew about you?
Golly, that's an interesting one. I actually can't think of anything, because what you see is what you get. So...
Bam! Yep. Boom, roasted, rapid fire. I love it. Okay, what's the hardest lesson the world keeps putting in front of you?
You know, I guess I would say that, and this is something that I've talked about publicly because I think it's very important for everyone to take this on board. Decisions made out of fear are always very bad decisions. And I say that because, you know, I'm undergoing startup stress every day. And, you know, when I'm asked what I think the most important qualities are for a founder, I always answer persistence, resilience, and the ability to manage your own mind. And I've gotten very good at managing my own mind, especially to take fear out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And I have to do that regularly, because if you get caught up in the fear of staring down the end of your financial runway, yep. What's going to happen?
What if, what
you,
if?
You are not going to be able to plan your way out of that.
Of course.
That's the thing I would say, you know, because I'm regularly facing very tough scenarios, and that's what I have to absolutely make myself be conscious of in them.
That's such a good point. Such a good point. Okay. A movie everyone should watch is?
There is a wonderful... something like, I guess, 12 years old. There's a movie called Friends with Benefits, which stars Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I want everyone to watch that film is because that movie, I would say, is the closest I've ever seen a movie get to the wonderfulness of real world sex and what Make Love and Porn is all about. Because the sex scenes in that movie are hysterical and they are real world.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the communication is so clear. She's like, nibble on my ears, don't touch my feet, keep your socks on, nipple, like touch my nipple once, twice, then like she is so clear and he does the same. And it's like, whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. It's also just a great movie. All right. Next up, what is your favorite room in your house?
Oh, definitely my bedroom and my bed. That's my favorite place in the world.
Knew it.
No surprise.
Favorite place in the world, no less. Incredible. Okay, what's the perfect snack?
Ooh, so I've got a very idiosyncratic answer to this, because one of the things I adore about being single and living on my own is my ability to operate a completely erratic eating schedule and to eat whatever I want, no matter how ludicrous somebody else might think it. So I'll tell you my ideal snack is, which I always have on hand. In my freezer compartment, I have a large pack of frozen parathas, which is a kind of Indian roti bread.
Yes, okay. I love that.
And they are incredibly easy to cook because it's literally heat up the frying pan, 1 minute either side. So I love cooking one of those, keeping them a bit doughy in the middle, and then layering on anchovies. I adore anchovies. And so a frozen paratha cooked up and then like tons of anchovies piled on it. It's kind of like an anchovy pizza without cheese. It is absolutely delectable. That's my favorite go-to snack.
I'm going to eat that.
And that will never be duplicated.
Anne's shaking her head.
I don't think we...
I am down because you know what? Anchovies are my secret thing that I just melt into any sauce
oh my
on
God.
The planet.
Yeah. Like,
they're
yeah.
so good. And you can't, they disappear. They literally melt. All right, I'm trying it. I have Trader Joe's prathas. I'm going to do it. Okay, what do you do to celebrate at the end of a great day? Like when you get your next round of funding, what you going to do?
Actually, I have in my fridge a very, very good bottle of champagne that a friend gave me many years ago. And in fact, she was very sweet. She had not been able to make some event I'd invited her to. And so to say sorry, she sent me a spectacularly good bottle of champagne. So good that I could not bring myself to open it on any occasion previously. And so that champagne is sitting in my fridge waiting for the day I... and by the way, it's not there till it shows up in the bank account. So the day funding shows up in my bank account, then I'm cracking that champagne. Yeah,
go.
I'm cracking that champagne.
Boom. Can't wait. Can't
Love
wait.
It.
Okay, almost done. Next question. Who would play you in a movie?
Do you know, that's a very easy one. I have two people, okay? In both cases, because I was told that was who would play me in a movie. So one was the taxi driver who told me I looked exactly like Shirley MacLaine.
I see that.
And the other is, many years ago, I was working as a consultant for the Japanese advertising agency Hakuhodo. And I kicked off my engagement with them with a dinner with the big boss, the big creative director at Hakuhodo, Ando's son, who couldn't speak any English. And so it was a dinner with an interpreter. And so the interpreter said to me, Ando's son tells me that you remind him of a movie star. And I was going, oh, this is great. You know, which one? And so, you know, the interpreter, it was a little hard to fathom, you know, said, you remind him of a British movie star. And she played a detective. And eventually I realized he meant Helen Mirren in Prime Suspect.
Wow.
So Helen Mirren.
Oh, yes.
Helen Mirren.
Absolutely.
Yes, I see that.
Absolutely.
Like energy, boss vibe, I also see. Okay, yes.
Totally nailed it. Yep.
Last one because it's a Cindy special, so I'm adding one more. Best sex advice. What's the top?
Honestly, communicate. It really is just talk about it. You know, and I have to tell you, the younger men I date, it becomes apparent that they may have had a ton of sex with a ton of girls, and they literally have never had a conversation in bed about the sex they're having ever before. And you know, they say to me, you know, one young man said to me, you know, going forwards, I'm going to communicate in bed a whole lot more because he really taught me, you know, how important that is.
So,
Communicate.
That's what we want. Woo! Yeah. Amazing.
Love it.
Thank you so much,
Love it, love
Cindy.
It, love it.
Frickin' love Cindy energy all day. I need it. I want it. I gotta have it. I want to give it to all the girls. I do have it. But I want
you
have it. You have it.
You have it. It's positive. It's confident. You know, she said something with that last piece of advice that just so resonated. Think about who you are and what you believe in and what you care about and have that be your guiding star. And I mean,
seriously,
that's really what we do at Parlay House is we have conversations with people who either know what that is, are figuring out what that is, are going to talk about their struggle when they didn't stick to what that was, who, you know, talked about the successes when it all lined up, and it's just like Cindy and her sex videos. You know, it's messy and real and imperfect and funny and glorious and all of those things. So 100%. Doesn't just have to be sex we're talking about.
And do you know how much this can change your life? I went on this journey of starting therapy and starting journaling and starting to get my know myself better. And some of the best advice I got, once you know those things, you start to recognize which things align with other people, right? And that's obviously, it's a great place to like pull those people closer who align yep. with you. But also it lets you notice when they don't align, but maybe the first two things don't align, but the third thing really, really does. Like lean into that with that important relationship instead of focusing on the other two. And I just think if you yep. don't even know...
Yeah, don't reject the other two either because you might not even know enough. You know, Cindy's at this point where she's constantly learning new things and stretching, and she's open to thinking about it. And, you know, and she's 63. I try to do the same thing, and I'm not too far behind her. It's never 100%. Too late to stop learning and growing. So that's also what we try to do. If you want to have more conversations like this amazing one we had with Cindy, but to do it live, we're in Parlay House gatherings all over the country and beyond in a number of cities around the world. And if you aren't in a city where we are yet, you can at least join us online every other week. We do virtual conversations like this. All you have to do to find us is go to parlayhouse.com. That's P-A-R-L-A-Y house.com. And join us as a member. You'll be so glad you did. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've had conversations that were unexpected and got mm-hmm. real and got juicy, and we all laughed, and it was kind of like today. So
sexy, got sexy, and
sexy free, everybody,
and almost sexy free. I need to come up with one for me.
Love it. And almost 30, which is just sexy on her own. All right, until next week, Ms. Fuller and everybody. When you come back, what are you going to do?
We're going to bring a friend. If it seems life is heavy, just pull up a seat. I've been looking for someone to meet. I've got stories I could talk about. I'm awake in the beautiful words that you speak. Tell me secrets, I'll keep you carefully. You got stories you could talk about. You got stories you got. Ooh, what a story to talk about. Ooh, what a story to talk about. We're gonna live this one out loud.